55. Thank you for that, Crystal. I appreciate her jumping in and helping with that. That was really last minute, and so I appreciate her doing that. Psalm chapter 55. I'm going to preach this evening. We're going, of course, through the Psalms, and I want to preach on finding assurance, finding assurance. Psalm chapter 55 and 1 through 7, we're going to just read that portion. It's a longer psalm, and it come together really well as far as just reading through it, and Lord just helps outline things and just kind of falls into place. And so I want to preach on finding assurance. Look with me in Psalm 55 and verse number 1. The Bible says this: "Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise, because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah." Let's pray. Father, we thank you just for your goodness to us. And God, I thank you for your word that we can look into, that we can study. God, it speaks to our hearts just as relevant in 2024 as it was when it was written. And God, we thank you for that in your word. God, I pray that you would use me. God, I pray that you would speak to hearts as only you can. I pray that you'd encourage and strengthen each and every believer tonight. And Father, we'll thank you for that. God, we ask all these things in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. We find the psalmist here in a very distressful psalm in which he's very much so feeling betrayed. And he was hurt, and not by a typical enemy. Oftentimes we find the psalmist is praying and he's worried about the enemy that is without, that is attacking him. But in this psalm we find that it's a little bit of a lot, or rather I should say much closer to home for the psalmist than his typical psalm. Notice with me in verse number 12 what he says here, just by way of introduction. "For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me, then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company." Nothing hurts more than being hurt by those you love. Nothing hurts more than being betrayed by somebody who is close to you. No pain is greater felt than having a trusting relationship with someone who would betray you and hurt you in ways that only someone close to you can hurt you. And every person will be hurt in this lifetime. It's bound to happen. Pastor, how can we prevent this from happening? I can tell you how you can prevent it from happening. Find a secluded island, purchase it, move there, and don't allow anyone to visit or call you, and never leave the island. That's how you can prevent it. But I fear that you will still be hurt because those people didn't call you or visit you. So honestly, you cannot prevent it from happening. There's just no, if you live in this world and you have friends and you're friends with other people, which you ought to be, then you're going to be hurt. You're going to be betrayed. You're going to be somebody at some point is going to hurt you. And the psalmist here writes this psalm specifically about this incident. And we find it very true. By the way, there's probably a little bit of overtone there of Judas betraying Jesus Christ. And that's certainly probably a little bit of an overtone that's prophetically pointing towards that. But I don't want to look at that this evening. I want to look at this as a personal psalm and how we can take these things and apply them to our life and help us. I want you to notice in the first 14 verses, his call for attention. And his call for attention. Notice the psalmist here in a very hurt state. Notice how he starts out this psalm. He says, "Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication." And he's calling for attention to his prayer. The psalmist feels distant from God. I don't know if you've ever been to that place where you feel distant from God. I remember several times in my life, at least, that I've felt distant from God. And I scratch my head and I say, God, I feel like I pray and you're not there. I feel like I read my Bible and there's nothing there. And God, I long to hear from you. And the psalmist no doubt felt that way. He felt very distant from God. That's why he's crying out, give ear to my prayer. He's asking for attention to his prayer. And there's no doubt sometimes we will go through dry spells, spiritual dry spells in our life that are no fault of our own. I'm sure Job felt like that. When he went through all of the hardship that he went through, and he would cry out to God, and it would almost feel like God wasn't listening or God wasn't present at that time. And I'm sure he felt like he was in a dry spell. There's other times that we'll go through a dry spell that will be our own fault. And that is, what fault would we bear? That of sin. Sin will no doubt distance you from God. And listen, if you don't have sin in your life, then really there's no reason that God will not hear you. I like the words that he says, hide not thyself from my supplication. I just looked up that the phrase, you know, hide my face, and several verses came up in the Bible. One, Deuteronomy 31:18, where God said this, and I will surely hide my face in that day for all the evils which thou shalt have wrought. In that day they are turned unto other gods. Isaiah 59:2, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Ezekiel 39:23-24 says, and the heathen shall know that the house of Israel went into captivity for their iniquity, because they trespassed against me. Therefore hid I my face from them and gave them into the land of their enemies. So fell they all by the sword. According to their uncleanness and according to their transgression have I done unto them, and hid my face from them. And what I'm saying is, listen, if it's not a known sin, if you know that, hey, you're living for God and you're following God, and I would venture to say on a Wednesday night, on a stormy Wednesday night, that probably you're not dealing with a sin issue in your life. Though you can never exclude that. That may be an issue that you have to look at. You have to evaluate yourself. I cannot always tell you. I don't always know what goes on in your life. But you can tell. And if it's not a sin issue that has separated you from God, hey, listen, then maybe you just need to continue doing what you're doing. And just stay true until God does speak to you. And we find the psalmist here. I don't think the psalmist necessarily was in sin. Again, I don't know all the circumstances behind it, but he is praying, give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Listen, praise the Lord as Christians, and we'll look at this towards the end of the message, but praise the Lord as Christians, hey, we have the promise of God that he'll hear our prayer. David, I don't know that he had that promise, but I tell you what, we have that promise. And he was crying out, hear my prayer. We find his call to attention to his prayer. Not only the call to have attention to his prayer, notice with me in verse 2 as well, he continues, attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and I make noise. But notice not only the attention to his prayer he's calling for, but notice the attention to his problem in verse number 3. Because of the voice of the enemy because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. You know what he's doing? He's saying, God, look at how what they're doing. Look at how they're causing me these problems, and look at how they're oppressing me, and look at how they've cast iniquity on me, and look at what they are trying to do to my life. And he's pointing out the problem, saying, God, I don't know. I want you to be attentive to my prayer, but I want you to be attentive to my problem. And that is, hey, that these people are against me. And that's what he's calling attention to. Notice also, not just the prayer and not just the problem that he has, but also he's calling attention to the pain. Look with me in verse number 4. He says, my heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. Boy, that's one thing. I don't even like to read that verse. I look at that and I tell you what, man, there's one thing I don't like. It's I don't like to be scared. It bothers me. I don't like scary movies. I don't like anything to do with that kind of thing. I just don't care for it. Not one iota. And we read here that the psalmist, he's saying, hey, I don't want to see those. I'm living that horror. I'm in utter fear for my life. In other words, when you have somebody that would betray you, and we already know that's what's taking place here in this psalm, it's almost like at that point you begin to doubt every person that is around you, because you're like, if that person betrayed me, then who can I trust? And there's a horror and there's a fear that compasses David, and it encapsulates his heart, and he begins to wonder who is loyal and who is faithful. And he draws attention. God, my heart is hurting. God, my heart does not find trust in other people. And God, I'm just letting you know that I'm very concerned. I'm scared to death and I'm trembling. And he notice he says here that he's overwhelmed with horror. I don't know if you've ever been in a place like that, but that's pretty descriptive that he gives. Maybe you have, maybe you haven't, I don't know. I can tell you this, that it's not enjoyable to live in fear. It's not enjoyable to feel threatened. It's not enjoyable to live in that way that he's describing. Notice not only his attention to his prayer, he's calling attention to his prayer, he's calling attention to his problem, he's calling attention to his pain. And notice he's calling attention to his propensity. Look with me in verse 6. He says, and I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander afar off and remain in the wilderness. He's saying, listen, I would love to escape my problems. And listen, I can tell you this, that there's been many times, I'm sure, in your life and in my life, that, man, we just wish, man, I wish this problem would just go away. You know, I almost wish I could just move, or I could get away from this. And there is no exit from the problem. That is the way David is feeling. And his propensity that he recognizes is to flee. There's a thing that's rightfully called flight or fight is really what God has programmed us with. And that is that we're either going to flee a situation or we're going to stand and fight in that situation. And you really don't know what you're going to do until you're confronted with a situation like that. We're talking about a dire circumstance. And really, David finds himself in there, and he's finding his propensity is, hey, man, I wish I could just run. I would rather live in the wilderness. And David was no stranger to the wilderness. He spent a good deal of time running from Saul, and he said, man, I would rather live on the run. I'd rather live in the wilderness. I'd rather live away from everything than to face the pain that is going on. Notice the attention he calls to his persecutors in verses 9 through 11. He says, destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongue, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go about it, upon the walls thereof. Mischief also and sorrow are in the midst of it. Wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from her streets. And he's calling attention to the persecutors that would go against David, and that they're causing violence to take place in the streets. But we know a little bit of what that's like after 2020 and a lot of the riots that take place. I don't know, that we personally saw it here, but I personally have been where they have had riots that have been violent and have been very dangerous. Being in Peru there, and they would have riots down in Arequipa when we lived there, and it was serious. I remember one day going home from school, and it was pretty much the middle of the school day as far as language school that we were doing, and we were only there for an hour or two, and they said, you guys need to go home right now. And they got a taxi, and I remember getting in a taxi and going home, and the taxi driver was driving down the road, and up ahead he saw something, and he yewed right there in the road, and we took off and went another way, and you go down another road, and it too was blocked off, and I was kind of like, well, why are you doing that? He said, you don't understand. He said, they will bust my windows and burn my car up. That's why. He's like, I can't afford that. He's like, that's how bad it is. And so he got me home safely after about 45-minute drive, which was a lot longer than it took to get to home from there. And we didn't go anywhere. And I started learning about the riots that would take place there in Arequipa. And sure enough, they would. They'd burn cars in the streets. They would break glass. They'd block the streets. And if you were out while they were trying to riot because they wanted to shut stuff down, they'd burn your car up. I mean, they may even harm you. So it was really bad. And we went up to Cajamarca, and there would be a riot, and it was nothing. And I thought, boy, they don't know how to riot up here. They need to learn how to riot. Twisted mind after you live in a foreign country, but they knew how to riot down there, and it was life threatening, and it was dangerous to be out, and so I know a little bit about that, not a lot. I never got close to them. I always learned, especially being a foreigner in a foreign land, when you see something going on, go the other way. Don't go investigate because you're a foreigner and you don't want to get involved. And so I'm just saying, he saw this violence that was taking place in the streets, and it's scary to have a mob rule or take over and do stuff because there's absolutely no control for the people that are there. And that's what he's saying. He's saying, hey, there's violence in the street. And notice he says there in verse number 10, day and night. It wasn't limited to just a certain time or just a certain hour, but it was ongoing, night and day, that it was continuing all the problems that were taking place. Notice in verse 11, wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from her streets. And he's just saying, hey, listen, these are wicked, vile people that are causing serious problems. And he was concerned, and he was calling attention to the persecutors. Then notice in 12 through 14, we read these, but I'll read them again. For it was not an enemy that reproached me. Notice what he says. Then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guile, my guide, and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company. We find attention to his personal hurts. And I referenced that in the beginning, the pain of personal betrayal, the pain of somebody that has been close to you and then turned their back on you. And we find that is what is taking place here in this psalm, and especially there in verses 12 through 14, and the very personal hurt that David, the psalmist, was feeling when he wrote this psalm. Notice that's his cry for attention, but notice his cry for action in verses 15 through 18. Look with me there. The Bible says, let death seize upon them, and let them go down quick into hell, for wickedness is in their dwelling and among them. For as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Look at his cry to action. His cry to action in verse number 15 is action to punish the wicked. He's saying, God, you need to deal with this. God, they need to be killed. Really, is effectively what he is praying. He's asking God to judge them and to send judgment upon them. You say, well, that's harsh. You tell me you've never been so upset at somebody. You say, God, he needs to go. I'm not saying that I would never say that you should go do that, because you should not. But I'm saying this: you never thought that God shouldn't deal with somebody, that God shouldn't take somebody out because of all the problems that they have created in this world. I'm just saying that sometimes that comes up, and David was praying it, and David was saying, God, not that David would take it upon himself, but God, hey, listen, I'm leaving in this in your hands, and that you need to deal with this situation. And we find that David was praying that in verse number 15. Not only that, but I love his verse number 16. He says, as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. He's saying, listen, God, you need to deal with that. I need to call on you. I need to pour out my heart to God. And listen, when you have all of that pain, when you have all of that personal hurt, when you have all of those things that David was feeling in that first bit of the psalm, you know the absolute best thing that you can do is call on God. Amen. He says, I will call on God. I'm going to go to God. Some people allow difficult times in their life to drive them away from God. And they tend to blame God. And they tend to say, well, God's not paying attention to me. And that's why this was all allowed to take place. And they tend to blame God. Listen, I've always heard it this way, that they can either be stumbling stones in your life, or they can be stepping stones to help you to draw closer to God. Right. And you look at them how you want to, but I'm telling you this, David said, I'm going to choose them to be stepping stones. I'm going to get closer to God. I'm going to call upon God. I'm going to go to God in prayer. Notice in verse number 17, and I love this, he says, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud. He shall hear my voice. In other words, David was saying, I'm not just going to go to God one time. I'm not going to go to God just once a day. I'm going to go to God at morning, at evening, in the noontime, and I'm going to cry aloud to God. Listen, there's some value to getting alone with God and just spending time in prayer. One of my favorite things to do is just to get in the car and drive by myself. I don't do it very often. But I tell you what, some of the sweetest times of prayer, I've been in my car, my door's closed, my windows are up, and you know what? I can just talk to God. Amen. Nobody's around. Nobody's going to hear what I'm saying, especially when you're driving down the highway at 55 miles an hour. Nobody's there. And you can just talk to God. There's value to talking to God out loud. There's value to actually voicing what you want to say to God out loud. And I know you have to find a private place to do that, but I'm just saying that's what David said that he would do. Evening, morning, and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. We see his cry for action was to punish the wicked. His cry to action was to pray, and that he would pray on a constant basis, not just one time. But then notice in verse number 18, his cry to action was in verse number 18, he hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. He's crying out and saying, God, protect me. And really, God did. It's a proclamation there of saying, hey, God did protect me. And you watch in David's life, you can see it over, and I love reading through the life of David in the books of 1 Samuel, I believe it is, and 2 Samuel, and you read through there how David interacted with God, and God protected David, and God watched over David, and constantly, and I just love to watch the walk of David with God. And he's saying, hey, you protect me. We see his cry for action to punish the wicked, for himself to pray, and for the action of God to protect him. But then lastly, I want you to notice this in verses 19 through 23, towards the end of the chapter, we find the comforting assurance. We see David in the first part calling for attention. God, I'm here. Are you paying attention? Do you see my enemies? Do you see my pain? Do you see my hurt? Are you listening to my prayer? We see his call to action. God, I want you I'm going to go to prayer. God, I want you to punish the enemies. God, I want you to protect me. And God did that. But then we find an assurance that was taking place. Look with me in verse number 19. He says this, God shall hear and afflict them. Even he that abideth of old, Selah. Because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. One of the comforting assurances is that his prayers are heard. He says there, God shall hear and afflict them. Hey, listen, praise the Lord, in the New Testament, we have a great promise from God. And that is in Hebrews chapter number 4 and verse number 15. It says this, for we have, well, go with me over there to Hebrews chapter 4. I want you to see this. Save your spot there in Psalm. We'll be back there. But Hebrews chapter 4. And look with me at this verse. Hebrews chapter number 4 and verse number 15. The book of Hebrews is written for the Jewish person to understand the blessings of Christ and being saved. And you could imagine the mental difficulty for them to have to transition from their very devout Jewish religion to that of freedom in Christ and grace in Christ. And notice with me in verse number 15, it says this, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let me just pause there for a moment and say this, that in the Jewish mind, when he would go to the priest and he would bring his sacrifice to that priest may not understand his circumstances. Matter of fact, probably that priest wouldn't really understand his circumstances completely. I mean, they lived different lives. The priest was constantly there at the temple, constantly ministering. And I'm not saying that the priest didn't have temptations and all of that. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm just saying that his life was so much vastly different than the guy that would be out on the street and farming and living and doing everything that he had to do, that many times he probably could not understand what that person was going through. Much like I can't always understand everything that you're going through. I'm a person, and I haven't walked the same path that you have walked, and I don't understand all the circumstances that take place in your life, and so I can't always wrap my head around your difficulties, and you can't understand always my difficulties either. But I tell you what he is saying is that, listen, Jesus Christ can understand our difficulties. Amen. Because he's God. And he says this in verse 15, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Definitively, he is talking about Jesus Christ, who was tempted in the flesh, but he was sinless, because it's not a temptation to be tempted, or it's not a sin, excuse me, to be tempted, but he also did not fall into sin. He overcame that sin. Look in verse number 16, let us therefore, because we do have a high priest who did overcome temptation, who does understand what it's like to be tempted. Therefore, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Listen, you look at back at the psalm and you think this, David had been betrayed. David had been stabbed in the back. It was one that was that had walked with him, and somebody who had been with him, and he was struggling with that. Listen, my friend, Jesus Christ can understand that. You know how many times Jesus Christ has been stabbed in the back? You know how many times people have offended Jesus Christ and turned their back on him and walked away from him time and time again when he has shown them love? And I'm just telling you that Jesus Christ can understand your pain. He can understand your hurt. And he will provide grace and help in the time of need. Back in Psalm 55, we find in verse number 19, he says, God shall hear. In the beginning, he's crying out to give ear to my prayer. And we find in verse number 19, God shall hear. He's assuring us our prayers will be heard. And afflict them even that abideth of old. Listen, God is going to protect us. We find protection is granted in verse 19 there, and also verse number 20. He says, he hath put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant. And I'm just saying that, hey, he's saying, hey, there are those that went against God, and God will protect and take care of us. Notice with me, not only the prayers are heard, the protection is granted in verses 19 and 20, but then verse 21, notice this, the prudence of God, and I love this. The Bible says, the words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. He's talking again about the person that had betrayed him. War was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. Verse 22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. But thou, O God, shalt bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee. You know what I get out of that? Is that God is not fooled by people's deceptions. You might be smart. My kids, sometimes they're a little bit different in that they grew up in South America, and we were careful. We just kind of, you learn to become street savvy. And pickpockets was, rampant in South America. It's just everywhere. I mean, you just when you spend time on the streets, you learn to watch out for stuff, and you learn to be careful of these situations and those things, and you just kind of get those kind of skills. I remember when I was talking to a missionary and talking about going to Italy, and he said, "Man, don't ride the subway. I mean, there's pickpockets everywhere." And I'm thinking to myself, you've never been to Peru. They weren't limited to the subways, man. They were everywhere. And so we did end up riding the subways a couple times. And you could spot, my wife and I were like, that one right there, that's a pickpocket. You could tell. I mean, there were telltale signs. If you've been around at all and you've been around pickpockets, you just know how to spot them. And there were telltale signs. And I'm just saying that, listen, you may be street smart. You may be people smart. You may be around people a lot. But listen, don't let your own wisdom get the best of you. You can still have the wool pulled over your eyes. Right. It doesn't matter how street smart or people wise you may be. You will find at some point in your life that somebody will break that trust. But can I tell you this? God's not going to be fooled by that. God knows every person. You read that again, and he's complaining again in verse 21. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter. He's saying, listen, I know not to trust everyone. I know to be careful of those things. But the words of this guy, his the words of his mouth were smoother than butter. but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. He says in verse 22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. You can't live your life in constant suspicion of other people. You can't live your life always wary, always watching your back. And at some point in your life, you just have to cast, as the psalmist says, your burdens upon the Lord and say, God, I'm going to trust in you. God, I'm asking you to help me. I'm asking you to protect me. I'm asking you to watch out for me. And I'm not saying we be ignorant. We just live life ignorantly. That's not what I'm saying at all. But we also don't buy an island and move to it. We're to be lights in the world. We're to be ministering in the world. We're to be amongst the world, but not of the world. And so we have to cast our care upon God and trust in God. I'm reminded of the verse in Galatians 6:7, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. God sees the heart and motive of people that we can't see. And listen, we just have to pray and work and minister and trust God in the end. That's what the psalmist ends with. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. What a great verse to underline. I got that verse underlined in my Bible. What a great verse that you can cast your care upon him. As we stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, Father, I pray that you would just be with each and every person that's here. God, I have no doubt that probably every person in this room has been hurt by somebody close at some point in their life. God, maybe the wound is fresh, maybe the wound is old. Maybe they've allowed that to heal up and they've given it to you and they've cast their burden upon you. But God, maybe they're still concerned about it. God, I pray that you would help them to cast their burden upon you. God, to trust in you. And God, that's, I know without a doubt, that's easier said than done. But I pray, God, that you would help us to cast our burdens upon you and to continue living our life as a Christian, faithful to you, knowing, God, that you will bring about an outcome that will be pleasing and honoring and glorifying to you. I pray, God, that you'd speak to hearts as only you can. In Jesus' precious name, I pray. Amen. As our piano